Good evening, and welcome to St. Michael on this, the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Our announcements for this week are as follows. The Book of the Dead has been placed in the narthex under the Infant of Prague statue. Write the names of your deceased loved ones in the book to be remembered at All Souls Day Mass on November 2nd at Park Cemetery. Volunteers are needed to help with our fall planting day around the church on Saturday, October 23rd at 9 a.m. Bring your gardening tools if you have them. America Needs Fatima will pray a rosary for our country on Saturday, October 16th at noon. All are welcome to gather on the grassy area across from the rectory driveway. Bring a lawn chair and a rosary. As part of our prayer campaign, parishioner Paul Bykowski will give a talk on spiritual companionship on Wednesday, October 13th at 7 p.m. in the PLC Room 2. All are welcome to attend. The school is on fall break through October 15th. Friday adoration will not be held until October 22nd. In addition, Father Aaron will be away on Tuesday, October 12th. Mass and reconciliation will not be celebrated that evening. The parish office will be closed on Monday, October 11th, in observance of Columbus Day.
A reading from the Holy Gospel, according to Mark. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." He replied and said to him, "Teacher, all these I have observed from my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me." At that statement, his face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, so Jesus again said to them in reply, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said amongst themselves, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For human beings it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God." Peter began to say to him, "We have given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times more in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come." The Gospel of the Lord. In the movie Schindler's List, Oskar Schindler spends most of his fortune buying Jewish people for the labor in his factory in an attempt to save them. In one of the final scenes of the movie, Oscar and his wife are getting ready to flee from his factory because of the advance of the Russian army. He suddenly realizes that he still has wealth left that could have been used to save more people. He looks at his wedding ring and realizes its gold could have been used to save a person. He looks at his car and realizes that he could have saved more people by selling it. Oscar has spent a good portion of that awful time in history spending down his wealth in an effort to save people, but he realizes at the end that he could have done more. It's a moving scene where the worth of earthly money and riches are reduced to nothing in the face of saving people from a gas chamber. What we're presented with here in this gospel today is the parable that is commonly referred to as the story of the rich young man. It's a story that is very applicable to our time. We can hear in this rich young man's voice the voices around us and even our own voice. In a prideful way, the rich young man comes to Jesus and says that he has done everything right, that he has followed all the commandments. He hasn't killed anyone, he hasn't stolen, he hasn't committed adultery, he hasn't lied, and he has treated his parents well. His words are words we all hear all the time when we talk about sin. If I had a nickel for every time I hear people say that they are good because they haven't killed anyone or done something big, I would be a rich man. Following the Ten Commandments to the letter of the law is a low bar for human behavior. What Christ calls us to is so much more than simply following the commandments. Christ challenges us to be willing to give it all up to follow him, to love him more than anything else in this world. Jesus doesn't sugarcoat this. As the rich young man is walking away sad, Jesus turns to everyone else and doubles down. He says how hard it is for the rich to enter into heaven. He doesn't chase after the young man and have a further conversation. He doesn't explain himself. He lets the young man walk away from him and walk away from his salvation. This is harsh treatment from the Good Shepherd. We often take it for granted that Jesus is our Good Shepherd, so we take it for granted that we're going to get into heaven. But here we have an example of Jesus letting someone walk away from him and begin to walk the road to hell. It's unnerving. It should be terrifying. The rich young man is not unlike us. We live in a world where we have very few worries about money. We might have tight times, but hardly any of us have concerns about where we're going to lay our head or where our next meal is going to come from. We have wants, not needs. We live in the richest country in the world, and we live comfortably. We are the rich young man. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we all know that we have fallen into the same prideful attitude of this rich young man. We say we're good because we don't do anything big. We obey the commandments, and we're nice to people. But the reality is that Christ calls us to so much more than simply not doing stuff. Christ calls us to be willing to give it all up for him. Christ calls us to be more than nice. Christ calls us to actually do something with our faith, to actually live our faith in a real, intangible way, a way that costs us, to make it so that our faith really is the most important thing in our life. That's really hard to live out. The disciples hear what Jesus say, and they are aghast by the harshness of his message. They say, if this is the case, then who can be saved? They know how radical his words are, to the point that they become concerned for their own salvation. What Jesus calls us to is impossible. He says so, but he reassures us that if we unite ourselves with him, if we are willing to give it all up for him, then we will be saved. Christ calls us to so much more than simply not doing bad stuff. He calls us to love him like he loves us, to the point that we give our life for him, just like he gave his life for us. It's impossible for us, but by God's grace, we can do it. Our faith should be costing us. Our salvation has a price, and Christ has paid it. All he asks in return is our entire life. It might seem like a steep price to pay, but when we realize that it will make our life happier, help this world to be a better place, and lead to eternal happiness beyond anything we could ever dream of, it's a bargain.